We got green lights. Hey, we got green lights. Unless I speak too loud and then it goes into the red, but I don't think I ever do that. That's you. Yeah, just pastor. Amen to that. All right. We are in the book of Proverbs. Everybody knows that because I think I've been teaching the book of Proverbs probably for the last 20 years I've been here. I don't know if it's been that long, but it seems like it's a thing. And I started doing the book of Proverbs because it seems to me that we often discount things in the Old Testament. When we did the review of Solomon's character, it seems to me like we discount not the characters in the Old Testament, but it seems like we also discount the Old Testament. It's funny, though, because when I was first saved, people would explain the Old Testament like this. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So it's kind of intertwined by that saying. And yet, there are people who say, oh, we don't need the Old Testament. We don't need what's in there. Well, I tell you, we had Brother Rosenkranz here one day, and he went over the Seder. Okay, anybody know what the Seder is? Okay, that is the Jewish celebration of the Passover. Okay, celebration. It's a somber celebration, but a celebration nonetheless. And you remember when the Passover was instituted, don't you? It was the last plague on Egypt and Israel when they were slaves in Egypt. Remember that? Okay. You remember the first nine plagues didn't touch them, right? Didn't affect the people in the land of Goshen. Because remember, they said, oh, it was darkness in Egypt, but the land of Goshen had light. Okay. There were flies and other stuff, but the land of Goshen had no flies, had everything. But the last one, okay, the last plague, affected them as well. Why? Because there are certain sins that affects only the lost. It's called judgment. Okay, but there's one sin, and that's the sin of disbelief in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that affects everybody. Okay? That atonement has to be made. And so he came up here and he explained, you know, what the different herbs and everything was and everything. It's like, wow, that's great. Now I understand more why we do the Lord's Supper. Because remember, that was looking forward to the time when Christ would come and sacrifice himself for our sins. And now we look back. And people say, oh, you think it's the New Testament Passover? Well, yeah. Because it looks back to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Okay? And that's why we ought to have it more in our mind, the celebration of it. Okay, because the Old Testament tells us what it was all about. The New Testament tells us that all these promises in the Old Testament were fulfilled. Where Christ on the cross, the last thing he said was, it is finished. All the scriptures in the Old Testament regarding him coming and dying for us, for our sins, are done. Are finished. Isn't that amazing? Gosh, it gives you goosebumps, doesn't it? Well, at least it should when you stop and think about it. Wow. That God fulfilled this promise exactly like he said it. Exactly like when he instituted the Passover for the next, I don't know, thousands of years or so. He fulfilled that promise on the cross of Calvary. The Old Testament is so rich and fills in what we're missing, I think, in the New Testament. Okay? All the scriptures Paul quoted, Old Testament. Isn't it amazing? He quoted no New Testament scriptures. My goodness. And I don't know how many people personally that could even witness to somebody using just Old Testament scriptures. Remember, Philip the evangelist was told to go join himself to the eunuch. Okay? And then the eunuch was reading, and he was probably reading aloud to all of his people there, by the way, you know. They were having a Bible study right there on the side of the road in front of God and everybody. They weren't ashamed. And he was reading this verse in Isaiah, right? Okay. And Philip comes up and says, do you know what you're reading? I don't know unless somebody explains it to me. And starting with Isaiah, the Bible tells us, he preached unto him Jesus. I'm ashamed to say I couldn't do that. Even though we're proud to say, you know, that we take the entire Bible, we believe the entire Bible, but sometimes we just kind of leave that Old Testament alone. Okay? You can't. Because the Old Testament gives us a deepness where the roots of God and God's words, His precepts, His principles were planted. Yeah. And that's why I chose the book of Proverbs, because the book of Proverbs, to me, in my humble opinion, well, sometimes I'm not so humble, I'm kind of prideful. But to me, it seems like the book of Proverbs teaches us more how to live righteously than the law. Because you can't lose. If you start doing things by the law and the law only, then you become a Sadducee and a Pharisee. They knew the laws, they tithed of the mint and stuff like that, but of the weightier things, no, they don't even touch that. They will put on other people, the Bible tells us, the burdens of carrying out the law, but they themselves won't. That's what happens when you start focusing on the law. The book of Proverbs tells us about righteous people and wicked people. Okay? Righteous, the entire, you know, the broad definition meaning somebody saved. The narrow definition meaning somebody living according to the Word of God. Okay? Because you can be saved and not be righteous. And the wicked people are those that just turn their back against the Word of God. Yeah, they do. And this is where I think Proverbs and why the book is important for us to understand and read, because, man, God gave Solomon wisdom beyond ages. I mean, wisdom that's going to endure. Wisdom, he's the smartest man that was ever, or the wisest man, not smart necessarily. I mean, he had wives and concubines in the plural, and that's not necessarily very smart, but wise. He's the wisest man ever on the face of the earth. And so these things here are key to us learning about how we as righteous people, as children of God, how we should live. And not just in the doing of the things, but our attitude, our mindset, our heart set. What is it should be the motives of the things that we do and say? You know? So we are here we are, book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, verse 1 says, the Proverbs of Solomon, we went through this last week, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom, instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. Man, I wish that there were people full of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity these days. Now it's saying, oh, you have a past grievance? Oh, we're just going to go ahead and give you money, and we'll consider it right. Well, I wish somebody would do that to me. Give me money, and maybe I'll forgive you, okay? But it's one of those things that, you know, true wisdom, true justice, true judgment, true equity is only found through God and God's Word. We can't do it by our opinion and our opinion alone. We, as children of God, as saved people, have to have a basis for what we do. We have to have, excuse the word, motive. A motive for why we do things. Okay? A lot of people do good on their jobs. They follow all the rules and stuff like this. Why? They want a raise. True? It's like, yeah. You know, they're nice to the boss and everything, but the minute the boss turns his back, man, they just badmouth them, don't they? I've met people like that. You know, they hate their job, but they'll do the job and they'll be great at it, and just to get a raise, just to get advancement. It's not really to fulfill anything. Where Bible tells us that we, as children of God, ought to set an example for our boss. Why? Because we're not really working for our boss, for some human that sits in the office while we're out digging ditches. We are doing this because we're working for God. Okay? That's how we should do things. In dealing with each other, we're not doing this just because the Bible says, oh, be ye kind one another, love one another without dissimulation, you know, without any variance, without any kind of division. We're doing this because God said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and love your others. Say it louder. Say it louder. There you go. Because that's what the Word of God says. That's what God requires. That's what God wants for us. Okay? To do things not just by the letter of the law, as Paul wrote in Romans, but by the spirit of the law. to be truly conformed to the image of the Son of God. Okay? And Jesus didn't do stuff just because he was supposed to do. He did things because he volunteered to be here to die for us. He voluntarily left heaven and dwelt as a servant on this earth for your sin and mine. Wow. He left glory for that, for you and me, for an ungodly, unholy, unrighteous people. People who, before we were lost, gave him not a second. Before we were saved, when we were lost, gave him not a second thought. Okay. It's amazing. And in Solomon says, this book is that way you understand things. So that way you can get in your head the concepts or the precepts that God wants you to do. There's a difference between a precept and a concept, right? Concept is just a general idea. Precept is a foundational idea that everything is built on. A principle, when God sets it down, is the thing that everything else is built on. It's not some theory or a hypothesis. It's a fact, these things. And so Solomon wrote these words for us to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtly to the simple, to the young men, knowledge and discretion. You ever met young children, young women and children, probably in the teenage years, who seem to be more mature than the others? Okay. A lot of it is due to their upbringing, in the Word of God. Okay. I've met a few young people over the years that, man, they got a hold of God. And man, they just seem like they're wise beyond their years. And it just seems like, man, why are you different? Well, because I read the Word of God. You know, I know not what I have it memorized, but I know what it means. Okay? And they live it at a young age. Then he goes in verse 5, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Okay? You think yourself wise? Okay? There's a lot of people I've met over the years. Oh, because I went to this college, I am wise. Because I went to that college, I am better than you. Because you only went to the other college, you know. Oh, you were homeschooled? I went to high school. I went to public school. Or I went to a private school. Or I went to, gosh, name the college. What's a Christian college in the South? There's a big one in Texas that you hear the preachers go there and they say, oh, man. Yeah. Anyway, how about the other ones that say, oh, Baylor, I went to Jack Hiles College. I went to this one. I went to that one. They're so proud of that, aren't they? Okay. But did they actually get wisdom? Did they actually get more knowledge while they were there? It seems all they got while they were there was an attitude of arrogance. It's like, wow. Oh, you a correspondence course? Wow. Yeah, so? You're learning the Word of God. Okay? Doesn't matter. In the old days, they didn't have a college, did they? Timothy learned at the feet of Paul. Paul, who learned at the feet of Gamaliel. It's like, you know, we kind of put too much emphasis on the human institutions, human-created institutions. There was people here from a college. They used to come here years ago, bring their singing things, and boy, they'd come up and the young people would sing, and oh, it sounds so beautiful. Then the guy would get up and says, you need to send your kids to our college because our college is better than Pensacola. It's like, really? I didn't see it, but it's like, you know, yeah, they actually said that. And it's like, you know, our college is better than so-and-so college. It's like, you can't really, I mean, come on, man. It's not... You can't brag about it because as long as you preach Jesus and Him crucified, that's where it belongs. Or where the bragging is. But the wise men, if you think you're wise and smart, and I know it all, or I know something, it says a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A wise man will put his attention toward what's being said from the Bible, even what's being taught in the pulpit, or down here, regardless of who's speaking. And listen to the Holy Spirit. A wise man will get this stuff and increase the knowledge and increase. He will hear. He will pay attention to what's being heard. Okay. And will increase in learning. And a man of understanding, if you think you're a man that understands all kinds of stuff, shall attain unto wise counsel, shall find people that are wiser than he is to listen to get advice, not advice from, but to get the direction on life. How many of us think, oh, I can do it myself? I don't need anybody else. Sorry, you need other people. Why do you think God put this church in? Why do you think God set up the temple? So that way everybody can go there and learn from people chosen by God to teach. Yes, they were chosen by God to teach. The whole clan of people was chosen by God to teach everybody else. One tribe taught 11 tribes. I can't do my math anymore. I don't have that many fingers. But if you think you're wise, if you think that you have a man of understanding, you know stuff, the reason I can tell is because you're going to hear and you will increase in learning. You'll get more. And I can tell because you will find other people who are wiser than you to get a counsel. Or even your equal. Or even somebody that's maybe you don't think as wise as you are. Because you know, out of the mouths of babes, God speaks. Oh, out of the mouth of a donkey, God speaks and teaches people stuff. I don't want to learn from the donkey. I don't know. That donkey saw the angel and he was more spiritually attuned than Balaam, wasn't he? It's like, dang. How's that? Or how about when Solomon in the book of Proverbs says, go you to you now and look at the ant and consider his ways. Ants. What ants got on us? I mean, well, they're industrious. They have all a bunch of things that we got to look at. You know? So you will understand. And Proverbs was given to him, verse 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretations, the words of the wise, and their dark sayings. You know, the first time I read that, and it really got a hold of my heart, it was like, oh, it's given to me to understand the Word of God. There's whole religions out there, the Catholic religion being the best one, that says, oh, the ordinary layperson cannot read the Word of God and understand it. And it's like, really? Then why was it given for people to read and understand? No, you need the Catholic priest. You need the priest. You need all these other people to show you the way. Okay, I need teachers, yes, but not just one specific person. Not because I'm dumb or unspiritual to understand. You know, God has given for us to learn. Isn't that an amazing thing? God wants you to know His mind, His thoughts. God wants you to know His emotions, the love He has towards you. God wants you to know it. He desires you to know that stuff. And all too often, we just say, you know, I can pass. I don't have to worry about that. No. No, you got to. Why? Because it's important to you spiritually. It's important for your growth. It is important for eternal things. It's important so that way you would be a witness to people you love. That you would be an encouragement to the people you love. How's that? That gets down to home, doesn't it? You'll be an encouragement to your children and grandchildren. You'll be a witness to your children and grandchildren. You'll be a witness to your parents. You'll be a witness to, you know, aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers and sisters. You got somebody you love you've been praying for to be saved? Keep on praying. Keep on praying. And then when you have the opportunity, don't come down like a hammer. I mean, I've known some people, every time they get around a relative, man, they come down like a hammer. No. Come down in love. Having wisdom. Rightfully knowing and dividing the word of truth. To be able to tell them things. And tell them things about the Lord. And then let the Holy Spirit work on their heart and pray for them. Pray for them. to understand. It's given to you to understand the mind and the will of God and the emotions of God, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. You know why it's called the dark sayings? It's not that they're mystical or magical or anything. It's because they're not understood. How's that? They're not understood. Why? Because nobody's in the Word of God. Or you're not mature enough to understand yet. I've noticed that over the years that I'm not, so some things I've read for years, it's like, you know, I don't understand. And then all of a sudden, the light pops on. The maturity level got there, and it's like, oh, everything's falling into place. I understand that better now. And then now comes a hinge pin, a linchpin. You know what a hinge pin or a linchpin is? It's a thing that's like a hinge pin on a door. That's what holds the door up. It supports the door. It makes the door a door. Okay, because without hinges, man, you're having to lift that door and, you know, move. I got a gate at home. I got to do that. I got to lift it up and move it over to the side so that way I can get in and out. Okay. When you're feeling old and decrepit, man, it's hard to do. Last night I went out there and it's like, you know, I'm not going to bother. It's like, I'm just going to go inside. But the hinge pin makes the door swing easier. The weight of the door is on those pins. It's on those hinges. The linchpin is, have you ever seen a D9 Caterpillar? Anybody ever see, everybody's seen the tractor, right? And they got the bucket that goes like this, right? Okay. The linchpin is that pin that the bucket is weighed upon, that the bucket swings on, the bucket pivots on. Okay, without that, it's just a bucket that just stays there and then scrapes along the ground everywhere you go. Okay, or it's a bucket that stays up and you just can't see around it. Okay, but the linchpin is what it hangs on. Okay, it's what provides the weight and the power to accomplish work, to accomplish something. So here's a linchpin in the Word of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear, having an awesome reverence for God. Yes, it also means being terrified of the Lord. Okay? Those two things we need. We need to have that attitude toward God. Yes, He is a person that we could love. And even Jesus said, told His disciples, you are my friends, but you are also my disciples. Okay? You're my friends because I'm telling you what I'm going to do. But you're my disciples because when I tell you something, you need to carry it out. You're followers of me. I was terrified of my mom and dad. It didn't keep me out of trouble. It kept me out of bad trouble. You know, because, you know, when I was little, mom and dad said, don't join a gang or we'll kill you. I believed them. So when the guys came up in the gang, offered me all this stuff, I said, nope, because I'm more afraid of my mom and dad than you. They couldn't understand that because they were terrible people. They're in a gang. They're bad guys. They do stuff. They do bad stuff. You know, some of them got arrested. It's like, you know, I don't care. I'm more afraid of my mom and dad than you. Okay. It's the only thing that kept me out of a gang. It's like, man, my mom and dad said they'd kill me. They'd hurt me. Now, I don't know if I believe that they would actually extinguish my life, but I knew they could put the hurt on me. I really did. But that's the fear of the Lord. But along with that fear was love, too. I love my mom and dad. They died when I was younger, in my 20s. I still miss them because I'm in my 60s now. It's 40 years. I still miss them. You know, I wish I could have gone and talked to them about things later on in life. I wish I could have had, conversations with them just because it was just at the point of beginning to have those conversations that they died. I miss them. For that. But the fear of the Lord also carries a great amount of love for God too. It does. And that is what the Bible says. David said it first in the book, in the Psalms. that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. It's just the beginning. Just the beginning? Oh, yeah. And it goes far beyond. It's just the beginning. Okay. I remember the first job I had was a plumber's apprentice. They hand you a shovel, and they said, here, start learning. You know, there's a certain way that you hold a shovel in order to get maximum results from that. There really is. I mean, and then, you know, so that way you don't hurt yourself while you're doing this stuff. Man, I was a young kid. No, I got strength. Hand me a jackhammer and a sledgehammer. Wow! Boom! 12-pound sledgehammer. Man, I was breaking up concrete all over the place. Then they said, no. You got to break it up straight. You got to make a line. Do your holes with the jackhammer and then break up the stuff. So that way, you know, we have a semi-straight line. There's ways you got to do this. There's ways of lifting the jackhammer, operating the jackhammer. And like, oh, wow. Yeah. So when do I learn plumbing? Learn this first. It's just the beginning. Okay. Well, the first job I had before that was sweeping the floors, restocking all the parts and stuff. It's like, yeah, learn this first. Isn't that the way in all trades and all jobs? You got stuff to learn first. And then it builds on top of that. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Learn that first. And then we can attain to further stuff. More glorious stuff. I say more glorious stuff because nobody wants to be in fear of the Lord all the time, do they? No. But we need to have respect for the Lord at all times. And the fear of the Lord is where that begins. And then we get to the first but. Okay? But fools despise wisdom and instruction. We all know our favorite preachers, don't we? Our favorite speakers, the guys that can elucidate really well. I love Brother Summerdor. I mean, he can really elucidate. He can really come along. He brings us along with him and everything like that. And then we had one preacher here. And I don't know why Pastor Anchor had him back for years. It's like, man, Pastor Anchor, get somebody else. There were times when he spake, I did not listen because of the way he spoke. It was like, you know, I'm really not into his preaching. I was a fool. I have admitted my guilt. I was a fool. Because I despised what he was preaching only because it was him preaching it. When I got over myself, the last couple of years he was here, wow, he actually has some good stuff. It's like, wow, you know, it's biblical, the things he brought out. They're scriptural. They're things that I needed to learn. So fools despise wisdom instruction sometimes just because of who's speaking. They won't show up to church. Oh, so-and-so is there. We need somebody new. I don't know. Brother Stormdor's been coming here for a long time. We have seen him grow over the years. We saw his kids grow over the years. But we've also seen him grow over the years. To where when he speaks now, it's different than when he first came here. Other preachers that we have seen over the years, some we've seen grow, some not so much. But anytime we despise the teaching of the Word of God, doesn't matter who is up there saying it, you're a fool. Okay? That word, by the way, means silly. And here's the word. Pastor used the word stupid. He apologized for using the word stupid the other day. I've used it all the time here for this because that's what it means, stupid. It has another definition meaning fathead. And not that little thing you put up on the wall, you know, the fathead, the big, you know, sports figures. No. It means you got just fat in your head. You got no active brain cells. Yes, that's what it means. It's a fool that despises the wisdom and teaching from the Word of God. Don't be that fathead. Don't be that silly person. That's why David could say, man, I rejoiced when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Yeah, because he could read the Old Testament at home, whatever there was written at that time. Remember, he missed out on all the prophets, and he wrote the Psalms, so it's like, you know, it's like, wow, he missed out on that too. He hadn't read them yet. But he said, I rejoiced. Why? Because he was going to go hear the Word of God preached by people who had studied and prayed, by people who had turned their life over to God, who were chosen of God to bring the Word to them, to teach the people of God, to teach their brothers and sisters in Christ. And yes, it was all in Christ. Because that's what the Bible's all about, Jesus. Fools despise that wisdom and instruction. Don't be a fool. Don't despise the wisdom and instruction. That's what Solomon hears. He's begging the people. Don't despise this stuff. Embrace it. You know, I used to pray, that we would take it into our heart and use it into our life. Okay. You know, that's kind of simplistic because we need to love the Word first. Not just incorporate it into our life. Because then it becomes just rote. Then it becomes we're just following the letter of the law. But we're under grace. Yes, we are under grace. We still need to follow thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. You know, we still need to do that stuff. Why? Because that's the golden rule. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't be that one. And then he goes on, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. That word, that term, my son, does mean my son, my male child, my direct descendant. Okay. It also has a broader meaning of my future descendants, okay, grandchild, okay, great-grandchildren, you know, people coming up. It also means just my people, like a king, or like God to his people. And that's what I take this at. Even though Solomon was probably thinking, my son, my child, listen to this stuff that I'm teaching you. Listen to the stuff I'm putting down so that way you can use it in your upset. That way you can embrace it as well as my father did, who said, thy word shall be a light unto my path. The way I have embraced it in my life, and I ask God for wisdom. How would you like to be the Solomon's son for that? Solomon, father, what was it like to talk with God directly? It's like, wow! Through prayer, we can talk with God directly. Through the Holy Spirit, we can talk with God directly. Okay? But truly, Solomon said, my son, and kind of almost a desperate thing, my son, my children, my people, like God with us, man, when he was talking to Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations, I was there in the morning and the evening prayers. I reached out my hands to you people and you turned away. You turned your back on me. And now you face judgment. Solomon, my son, Rehoboam. Remember him? Rehoboam, what happened to him later on when he became king? All the people say, hey, your dad did this and it wasn't quite right. All the advisors and counselors, all the wise people of the land. Who do you listen to? I'm listening to my best friends, my best buddies, because they're pretty wise too. No, they're just as dumb as you are, man. You didn't listen to your dad at all. You went and you found somebody that you liked their opinions, or their opinions made you feel good. You ever notice somebody like that at work or somebody you know? They go and get advice. And the only advice they follow is the advice that they like. Oh, yeah, I met quite a few people like that. They go around and stuff like that, get all kinds of people's advice. The only advice they really cared about and followed was what they were going to do anyway. Well, that's not very wise. God talking to his people, my children. Please listen to me. Hearken to my voice. Do not get away, Do not get away from the instruction of your father. Because God said, I am your father. How do you like that? How does it make you feel? The very God of heaven, the creator of everything you see, comes to you and says, I want to be your father. I love you enough that I sent my son to die for you. And I want that same love returned to you. My children, listen to the knowledge. Don't forsake the law. Listen to these things, please. God is almost pleading with us. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Man, you ever met anybody? I've only met a few people that like that, that I can say that are truly like that. When you meet them and you listen to them and you start understanding the people, and they have these ornaments of grace and chains about the neck. Okay? That they have a look about them that's like, wow, something different about that person. Not in a weird way, but it's like, man, the grace of God is fully upon that person. We had one person come in here years ago. We were down in the basement getting ready for... We used to have prayer here on Saturday afternoons. Okay? But we were down in the basement, and then he walked in. He was going to speak. There was something different about that man. Okay? When he reached out for the handshake, he would do this and then draw himself in. He would draw himself into you. Most people, you know, we're going to shake hands, keep a distance. But no, there was something different about the grace by which he did this. Hi, it is good to meet you. There was just something different about him. And they're ornaments. They're decorations. Without having to do funny stuff with your hair. Or guys even wear makeup now and earrings and nose rings and stuff like that. Why? Make them look better? No, you're still just as ugly, buddy. It's like, ugh, you know. But it's called the decorations, and the spirit is there, and that's what decorates a person. I think that's what people see most, is the inside of you. That's what people see. Like Peter said, you'll have a ready answer for those that look upon you and come up and ask you about the faith that resides within you, the belief that resides within you. Somebody come up and say, what's different about you than all these other people? I had somebody ask me that once. I wasn't prepared. I was like, huh? I don't know. I'm just doing my job, man. And then later on, it was like, I could have said it's because I work for Jesus, not you. I could have said it's because the grace of God leads me to do my best for you here. It's because I have Jesus in my heart and they don't. Man, I wish I had been more aware. I was doing my job, just doing my things, and he'd come up and he would say, well, you're doing a good job. What's different about you and all these other people? It's like, well, yeah, I don't know. I was just doing my job. I'm like, man, what a missed opportunity to witness. I kind of keep my mind for that, but nobody's asked me since then. It's like, oh man, I had my chance. My son, if you follow these things and follow after God, they're grace, ornaments of grace about you. All right, we're going to quit now. It's 9:45. Did you guys bring cookies? Oh, there is something down there? Ooh, cool. All right, then. Now, don't get in any of the stuff that's warming up, you know, or if something's laid out already, don't start snacking on that stuff, all right? But we'll go ahead and dismiss a word of prayer. Gracious.